with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave from their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive your words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. Choir. Y'all come on down here. Yes, I did that. Because I can. Let them come down and sit with their families. While they're doing that, I have to give a disclaimer. So, there's been a few times when I've read a scripture text such as this, and immediately, and I've actually had somebody say it out loud, "Preacher, you've quit preaching and started meddling." So I'm going to ask you this question. How many of you, don't raise your hands, because it'll be embarrassing to you, not me. How many of you give to God? How many of you give to God? Okay. So, here's the disclaimer. This sermon is not about money. So don't shut me out right now. And don't be planning your escape route when I turn my back. This is not about money. Although it could have it in there, this is not what it's about. So our text today talks about Jesus and in two different little things, although they're kind of tied together. So he's watching the Pharisees, and he's watching how they're acting, and he's watching how they kind of gloat, and he's watching how big their heads are. And he tells his disciples, you know, those guys are in it for the wrong reasons. They're in it for praise for themselves. Excuse me. And it talks about how they like to wear their flowing robes and they like their places of honor. And they like... Angie, can you give me some water? And they like to be the center of attention. And he said, that's wrong. That's not what this is all about. And in a few minutes later, he's sitting there watching the offering plates. And as the people come down, they're putting their money in. And I can't imagine what his facial expressions were or anything like that. But as they came down and they put their money in and did whatever it is that they would do and then go on back to their place. And there was this little old lady who came down and it said that she put in two small copper coins. Well, of course, in our minds, we think two pennies. It was probably worth that much. But it was all she had, thank you. It was all she had. And Jesus was so impressed and so touched that as she came down, she gave everything she had. And he said, you know, this little lady has given more than all of these wealthy people have because she gave her all. And so I wanted to talk to you today about giving our all. It's not about money, but giving all of us to God. It's about us sacrificing us for the service of God. So, how can you be sacrificial in your giving? Unfortunately, for most of us today, our giving comes from our excess. We give our extra time. We give our leftovers. So I've got a little bit of time on my hands. Nothing really good on television. Got all the honeydew stuff done. I wonder what they're doing up at the church. Or, I don't have anything planned for today, and since it's Sunday, I think I'll just go to church today. You see, sometimes we give out of leftovers rather than giving everything we have up front. That's what the Pharisees and the wealthy people were doing. They were giving out of their excess. They had already taken care of all of their stuff. And this money was left over, so we'll just go and take it down there and throw it in the offering plate. And part of the issue was is they didn't just kind of slide it in there. They kind of went. They wanted people to see. And I can imagine the little widow when she went up there, she was so embarrassed because she didn't have a lot to make clink. So she kind of just laid hers in there. Because you can hear two coins clink in a plate. So we have to be sacrificial in our giving. We have to give from the beginning and from the heart, not from what's left over. Our giving has to be reckless. Reckless giving. You ever wondered? You wonder what reckless giving is? Anybody got a definition of being reckless? Nobody has a definition of reckless? All y'all are calm and prim and proper? Without regard. That's good. What? To the consequences. Yeah. Without, take a risk. You know what my definition of reckless is? Doing something and not worrying about what Angie thinks. See, for me, it's eat. What? Nah. And I say nah because of this. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. You see, God wants us to give all out. He wants us to be full force in. He wants us to be gung-ho. What's that military thing? Dang the torpedoes. We have children present. I'm not going to say the other word. Full speed ahead. You see, God doesn't want what's left over. God wants what's first. You ever been excited about doing something? Why is it we can't be that excited about doing stuff for God? It's because we're not reckless enough. We kind of sit back a little bit and we wait for somebody else to jump in there and somebody else to kick it off and then we'll get on the bandwagon. You know why people jump on the bandwagon? Because they're not controlling the horses and they can get off any time they think it's going south. When we become predictable in our faith, then our faith is kind of stagnant. But if we're willing to be reckless with our faith, if we're willing to jump out there, jump out of that little box that we've built, to get out of the ordinary, to be fired up and excited about something that no one else is, and pushing towards it, that's giving of ourselves recklessly. The other thing is that when we give our all, we don't hold anything back. Have you ever done something halfway? So here's a me analogy. I know this is going to come to you as a shocker, but I love to hunt. And I'm sure every one of you, all of us, we have our favorite hobbies, right? Some of us like woodworking. Some of us like to, I don't know, throw me some examples, y'all. What do you like to do? Golf. Boy, that's a good analogy of what I'm thinking. Play on the tractor. Crochet. Play bells. What? Knit. Are you a knitter? So, okay. Take those examples. I'm going to use the golf example. Because that I've done that a time or two. You walk out on the tee box. There's that little sign there that tells you it's a par 4. 395 yards, right? Does that sound about right? Good enough. The idea is to drive that ball out of that tee box as far as you can, right? So you pull out your driver. Unless you're doing it halfway, then you're going to pull out your putty, your putter. And you're going to try to putt 395 yards. Are you going to be able to do it?
then why are you wasting your time out there? If I'm going to go hunting, but I don't take something to go hunting with, why am I wasting my time out there? If you're going to go piddle on the tractor, you got to take your keys with you, right? You're going to do woodworking. You've got to have the tools to do it. Otherwise, you're standing there holding two pieces of wood looking at it going, huh, I wish it would go together. You see, our problem is that we don't give 100%. We always hold back a little. Some people hold back a lot. But the majority of everybody holds back a little. We don't want to give our all to God because then we become His instrument. And we're not real sure we want to give up complete control. How many of you would say you are not a control freak? Come on, show your hands. It's not a trick question. You're not a control freak. I would like for all of you that raised your hands to see me after church. I'm putting you to work. Here's the deal. We are control freaks. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are control freaks. We're willing to give up some control, but we're not willing to give up all control. I will give up the majority of control in my marriage, but she ain't getting all of it. Because I want to determine some of the things that go on in my life. And if you're a human being, you agree 100% with that. Whether your spouse is sitting there pinching you or not, you agree with it. We're willing to give up the majority of control, but we're going to keep some type of control on our life because if we don't, we're not in control. And now, we do what we're told. In our Christian walk, it's no different. We will give God a lot of control in our lives, but we're going to reserve the right to say no. Dear Lord, I am your servant. I will do and go wherever you want me to. Maybank? Nah, ain't happening. That little lady gave up everything. She could have held back one of those coins. It wouldn't have been much, but she might have been able to buy bread for that week. But see, she put all her faith in God, that God would take care of her life. How many of us are willing to do that? How many of us are willing to say, here I am. Do with me what you want, and I mean wherever, whatever. We talk a good talk. Oh, I'd do it. I'd do it heartbeat. No, you wouldn't. Because there's some things that we're not willing to give up. So my question to you today is this. When you got up this morning and decided to come to church, did you do it out of excess in your life? Because you really didn't have anything else to do? Or you're tired of seeing the cards come from the preacher? Or when you woke up this morning, you said, I get to go spend some time with my God and my Savior today. Everything else can wait. Are we one of the first ones that Jesus talked about, or are we like the little lady? Our goal is to be like the little widow. Our goal is to give our all to Christ. So, what you doing the rest of the day? Got plans? Everybody got plans for the rest of the day? Boy, y'all got really quiet. I'm just asking y'all. I'm not going to make you do something. So here's what I want you to do starting right now. I want you to give your all to Christ. I want you to give your all to God. Because all of those little things that you like to withhold and hang on to, when you give everything to God, God makes sure that those things stay in place. I was told by somebody very close to me that they got up one morning and they realized all the stuff that they had going on in their life that day and just trying to figure out, how am I going to get all this stuff done? And they thought, you know, I'm going to pray to God and let God take control of it. Not only did they get everything done that was on that list, but they got other things done that weren't on that list, and they still got home on time. You see, when we give our all to God, God takes care of all that stuff. So there's no excuse. Give your all. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, how blessed we are to have you in our life. Father, we know that sometimes we kind of get carried away and we start prioritizing different things and you end up coming in last and we end up giving you what's left over. Lord, we pray today that you open our eyes and we realize that we need to give all of ourselves to you. That you might use us in ways that we have never dreamed. And that we have the opportunity to bless others. Remind us that it's not about us, but it's about you. And as we go forward in our lives, as we go on in our walk, giving control to you is a lot easier than having to make all those decisions for ourselves. Father, we praise your name, but most of all, we praise your Son. We pray all of this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. And you